Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Myself and Simon are doing our chair dancing here to Chumbawamba with Tub Thumping. That's another great one-hit wonder, and we're going to discuss lots of them this morning. Simon Marr, of course, founder of 8radio.com. Is that one of the good ones, would you say?
Yeah, oh no, it definitely is. Although they would be one of the bands who'd be very cranky about ever being described as a one-hit wonder. But they would also be a band who would give out about having hits in the first place, because they're socialist agit rockers. So it's not really good to have a hit in the first place.
Yeah, because there's one coming up, and I know they would feel very offended if we said they were a one-hit wonder band, but we come to that in a moment. I mean, in general, though, how do musicians feel about being described as one-hit wonder, hit makers?
None of them like it, as far as I can see. And a lot of them, what they're worried about is they say, well, maybe I'm a one-hit wonder now, but my next single is going to be the big one. And I suppose as a musician, you have to believe that as well. You have to think that the next big thing is coming along. So nobody's going to like being described as it. But maybe as you get older, then you kind of realise, I'm actually going to own this. I love this. I may have had just my 15 minutes of fame, but wow, they were good minutes.
Mm-hmm. What does it take to make a great one?
It's got to be a catchy single. So musically, it's got to be good. The lyrics, the vocal, all of that have to be good. What really helps is if it's kind of zeitgeisty, if it's something of the moment. And that can be something as simple as being a song from a movie, or it can be something like, you know, you got into an ad, or it can be something that was featured in a TV show, or just something that made it. Nowadays, it's, you know, that you've got something that has gone viral on TikTok. That's how you do it now, is you get there and it can be some ridiculous dance or something that people just like at this moment, and it becomes huge.
Yeah, instantly identifiable. Absolutely. After the first couple of notes and so on. Well, we'll talk now about some of the musicians who happily pumped out catchy one-hit wonders, including this one. We all know that.
Absolutely. And everybody knows it. And Norman Greenbaum, the guy who wrote it, said he wrote it in 15 minutes. He couldn't work out. He was just curious more than anything else as to know, how do country music singers belt out these songs? They get them, you know, my pickup truck's broken down, mm-hmm. my wife's left me, my dog's dead. You know, how do they do this? And he said he wanted to write a song.
And did he perform that as well?
So he wrote and performed that song. It sold 2 million copies. Mm-hmm. And he's an interesting one, because he said after that, he didn't care anymore. He was really scratching a creative itch with it. And once he worked out, this is how you do it. And then obviously enough, sold 2 million copies. He was perfectly happy and still performs and still plays to this day.
Right, because I mean, I recognise the song straight away, but I wouldn't know him now if he walked into this studio. Norman Greenbaum?
And he wouldn't mind. And that's the great thing about him. So he's very comfortable with this whole idea.
Now, Chesney Hawkes was almost the first name that popped into my mind when I was thinking about one-hit wonders. It's really difficult to get past this, isn't it? He doesn't like being considered a one-hit wonder, am I right?
He doesn't. He says, look, that was a thing in his life. So that was his zeitgeist moment. Mm-hmm. He got a gig acting in a film called Buddy's Song, but I think Roger Daltrey was the baddie in it. And as far as he was concerned, they needed to get somebody to write the song. They got Nick Kershaw, who would have been huge at the time, to write the song for him. You can hear him singing there on the chorus. He got the song and he says, this is just something that elevated me. This got me all the musical gigs I wanted. This got me more acting gigs, and it it means I can still perform. And he's just released a box set of his 5 recorded albums recently. So he's happy with this, but he says, I'm just not a one-hit wonder because I don't want to be identified as that.
Okay, because he's done lots of other things.
Exactly.
Musical theatre and reality TV.
Yeah, oh yes.
Because of the one hit. Anyway, we won't say that to him. We won't say it too loudly. Now we come to the first song played on MTV. Tell me all about that one. I'm surprised that's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, and nobody had heard of Buggles. Now, Trevor Horn, who is the man behind Buggles, went on to be a huge producer. He produced Frankie Goes to Hollywood, so Relax and Two Tribes, and all of that stuff was him. Went on, he produced albums for The Frames in Ireland, all sorts. So, massive, massive producer. But they recorded Buggles. They recorded a video, Kill the Radio Star, and another track called L Street. And they were sort of like tributes to a particular time in the film business and in the music business. And then MTV picked up on Video Kill the Radio Star and suddenly it went huge. 16 mm-hmm. countries it went to number one in, and everybody loved it. And it still gets brought out now. But nobody, if you ask anybody, you know, do you have a Buggles album or do you have the Buggles follow-up? They'd go, no, there
again,
was a follow-up.
Like Norman, I would have said to you, I know that song very well, but Buggles... Never heard of Buggles.
No, and nor did most people, but either before or after Video Killed the Radio Star. Mm-hmm. But Trevor Horn was delighted. If for him, that was his calling card. He was able to then go and kind of go, okay, now I'm a big producer. This is what I do. He went off and he started ZTT Records. And it's gone on for him since.
Stratospheric from there. You mentioned that occasionally you'll have a song used in an ad and that propels it to one-hit wonder fame like this one. It's all coming back to me now. It was a Levi's ad.
It was a Levi's ad. And at the time, that was the thing you needed to get. There was all the 501 commercials with poor old Nick Heyman and everybody in them. And the stonewashed jeans, heard it through the grapevine, all of that. So they'd used a lot of 60s related tunes. But then they said, wonder, are we powerful enough to break a band to be able to do something? So that's where they came along to Babylon Zoo, Spaceman. And this was the thing, is can we actually not just revive a song that people already kind of know in their head, but can we introduce people to a brand new song? And that's what they did with Spaceman. And it became the biggest selling debut single ever. It was absolutely huge. And obviously sold a huge amount of jeans as well. But it was great for Babylon Zoo. It was great for Levi's. But then nothing.
Not a peep.
Absolutely not a peep out of them. Now, in fairness to Babylon Zoo, Spaceman, it should be pointed out that, like some one-hit wonders, it's not very good. But it was so much of the moment that it was huge just then. But once it burned out, that was it, gone.
Yeah, I mean, it takes you into the moment, but it's not great.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Now, soap stars, particularly those soap stars from Australia, they had many hits, not one-hit wonders per se. This one, though, arguably was a one-hit wonder. Let's have a listen. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor. That was a great song.
It was.
Natalie Imbruglia. Was that really a one-hit wonder?
See, she would say, again, she would be very determined that she's not. She said, first of all, Left of the Middle, which is the album that it was taken off, sold 7 million copies. And she sold probably 2 or 3 million albums since. You know, so she's still quite a big star. You know, she again, got her all the acting. She won The Masked Singer last year. She was a panda. So that's how she, that's what she did. But would still be very, very popular. But
I wonder, has Chesney Hawke's been in The Masked Singer?
I think he did MasterChef and The Games. Oh yeah, this is how you keep the fame going. But it, again, it has the benefit that it's instantly recognisable. You hear it everywhere, and despite it being 20 odd years old, almost 30 years old now, you know, it's still a good single. And that's the thing.
Is that fair now to put her in the one-hit wonder gang, do you think?
She would say no. And given that she sold 7 million copies, who are we to argue, Claire? Mm-hmm. Who are we to argue with that?
Listeners getting in touch with their favourite one-hit wonders. I Want to Wake Up with You, Boris Gardner.
Yes.
Can You Dig It by the Mock Turtles. Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that.
1990s-tastic, yeah.
Yeah. A one-hit wonder. And do you need to be... I'm trying to find out what the formula is, and I'm thinking about that awful Levi song, which wasn't very radio-friendly.
Yeah.
But in the main, you need it to be a radio-friendly track.
Yeah.
And has that changed now in the era of TikTok?
Well, this radio probably doesn't, and I should never say this, but radio probably doesn't have the same power to explode an artist or explode a song that it once did. But there's still lots of places where people are discovering music, and whether that is through syncing, so through getting your song featured on a TV show, that's still a huge, huge thing to get. But now, if you can somehow find your way onto a TikTok video, you know, that is the place now where mm-hmm. where that sort of explosive growth tends to happen, and where you tend to get that one hit wonder. But I suppose for some artists, they'll do that, they'll use it, they'll get the publicity, but then they'll move on. It's the ones who get that explosive publicity and then it fades away, and it fades away quite quickly. Must be tough for
them. It must be tough, but I'd love to know the science behind it. You know, why don't you get the longevity off the back of a something that sold 2 million or 7 million in Natalie's case or whatever? You know, where does it go? Where does it all dissipate to?
Some people just have, and it's the classic 15 minutes of fame thing. You know, they've got the one really, really good book in them that they can write, or they act in one, you know, particularly great film or a play or whatever it is. And it's the same with music as well. Some people, they just, that song comes out, you know, and whether it is an accident of timing or whether it is just a really, really good song, and then you spend your life afterwards. I can never imagine it. Of all the musicians I've interviewed over the years, I've always asked them about what happens. You've had the big album, you've had the album that's number one. At some point you have to sit down in the studio and you've got a blank page mm-hmm. in front of you, and it's like, well, what next?
Well, they can be more like Norman and say, I'm quite happy. Yeah, I've done it now.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
The 90s, is this your era now? If we're talking about one-hit wonders, where your favourites lie.
I'd love to say it's the 90s, but it's probably a bit earlier, but still.
Let's go to the 90s anyway. What were your favourite one-hit wonders from the 90s? The New Radicals?
I think the New Radicals, I think everybody has a particular fondness for this, and this one hit all the bases, as in it was a great catchy song, got a whole load of radio play, managed to get picked up, I think it was in 3 or 4 different movies in a very short period of time, and then the band went away. Okay. Within 6 months of releasing and having this smash hit single, they were gone.
I want to take a listen to this one. This is everybody's favourite one-hit wonder, surely.
99 red balloons floating in the summer sky. Panic bears, it's red alert. There's something here from somewhere else. The war machine springs to life.
Oh, we're out of time. I wish we could play that in its entirety. Oh, yeah, that absolutely. Was Nina.
Yes, 99 red balloons. What a tune it is. And great written one. By an Irishman. So it was written in German, and it was a great political song. They thought, how do we get this across the line? So they've got Kevin MacLeay in from Belfast, who'd been working with Kate Bush. He wrote the English version of it, and it became huge.
I'm going off now to listen to that in a few moments. Beforehand, though, I'm going to tell you that in the headlines, the Cabinet has now agreed the legal framework to allow the new National Maternity Hospital to proceed at a site beside St Vincent's Hospital in Dublin. The legal advice given by the AG on the independence of the new hospital has been described as robust and watertight. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, researched by Ciarán Dunn. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. Mark McGrath was on sound. And it's over now to Shea Byrne.
Thank you very much, Claire, and a warm afternoon. I'm sure we can fulfil your wish of hearing 99 Red Balloons after the Angelus.